today we will continue in our God, who God is, characteristics of God, names of God series. And today we're looking at the God who is with us, which is the exact word we need for peace in uncertain times. And so with that in mind, hear these words from Isaiah 43. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Would you pray with me? Oh, God of peace, God of hope, God our Savior, we come to you to worship today in this room and in rooms all across this county. And we lift up your name, looking to you in unusual, uncertain times, knowing that you are sovereign and good over all. And so our trust is in you. Our hope and our peace are in you. And so as we sing to you, as we open your word and hear what you have for us, would you hold our hearts? Would you lift them up? Would you give us wisdom on how to live in these days? And would you empower us to be a people on mission in this unique opportunity you have placed before us? You are a God who turns scary things and hard things into good things. And so we're asking you to help us join into your creativity and into your love and get a grasp of what you might be up to so we can join in. We ask for your protection and your safety and your healing over those who are ill and those who are vulnerable. And we ask that as your compassion is most certainly with them, that ours would be too. Thank you for a collective chance as a world to consider what it means to be good neighbors. Would you grow us as your people through this? We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we turn to scripture now, and we are going to hear in multiple places about the God who is with us. Isaiah 41. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Verse 13. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, do not fear. I will help you. Then Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. In John chapter 14, verse 18, these are words from Jesus. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And then down to verse 25. I have said these things to you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not let them be afraid. Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word, we ask your spirit to move freely in us and among us, helping us to hear what it is you want us to hear. So you would help us be who it is you want us to be. so you would help us do what it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anxiety. It's that feeling you get when you're in a crowded space and yet all you can hear is the pounding of your very own heart. It's that feeling when you're out in the open air and yet can hardly catch your breath. It's when you've got this long list of things to do and things to focus on, but you can't get your mind to stop racing in 100 different directions to zoom in on any one. I think we would all agree that we are living in the age of anxiety. In 2018, the APA reported that almost 40% of Americans felt more anxious than they were just the year before. And another 40% said that they were at least equally anxious. And so if you do the math, in 2018, that's 80% of our population admitting to some kind of ongoing or increasing anxiety. And that was 2 years before any coronavirus was ever even known to man. The APA also estimates that 40 million American adults, that's roughly 18% of our population, have a diagnosable anxiety disorder. It's a real thing in our midst at all times, not just these times. When asked what the factors were that most contributed to this anxiety, do you know what the top three responses were that the APA came back with? Safety, health, and finances. Almost 70% of anxious folks who responded to their survey named one of those as the top three reasons why. And what have the last few weeks thrown at us but threats to safety and health and finances? If you're feeling just a little bit anxious these days, my friends, join the club. Turns out it's all around us. 24/7 news is telling us what this thing is that's out to get us. The words that we keep hearing, words like unprecedented and devastating and uncontained. And we really can't make sense of what to do with it. So our instinct is to do what everyone else is doing. And that's to rush to the store and get some toilet paper and some milk. Because they're doing it, so it must make sense. Or we start Googling recipes for how to make our own homemade sanitizers or turn the volume up on the news so we don't dare miss a thing. And all the while, if we notice it, our hearts just keep pounding out of our chest and our blood pressure just keeps soaring and our breaths are just so labored and our heads just keep spinning. We wake up after a long night's sleep and we're still tired. These are days of anxiety. But I ask this morning, is this response our only option? Because you see, it turns out we've got a God who knows a whole lot about the anxious hearts of his children. And we've got a God who doesn't just know, but who cares a whole lot too. Cares enough to tell us 365 times in Scripture, fear not, fear not. And many times that command, fear not, is followed by this promise, for I am with you. God, the creator of this universe. God, the one who keeps this earth spinning and who keeps the sun rising. God, the one who could take away every single threat in a split second. The one who can do whatever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants. This is the one who is with us. And this is the one who loves us. And so he can truly say, fear not, fear not. Don't you know who's walking into these great unknowns with you? But the one who knows everything, that's who. So fear not. God is with us. It's the message in all of Scripture. Starts in the garden. We see that God's very heart was to create humans to be with him intimately together, side by side. And even whenever we went and totally messed that up, God just got more creative in how he could still be with us. We've got this God who is never far off, but always right with his people. In Isaiah, those verses you heard just a moment ago, God is speaking to a people who are scared to death, a people threatened from the inside and from the out, looking to an entire nation's demise. And to them he says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Don't be afraid. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." And I love this part. "For I, the Lord your God, hold your hand." It is I who say, "Do not fear. I will help you." You see, the people of Israel, they could face this unknown future and incredibly hard days ahead because they were holding on to the hand of the Lord of all, the one whose hands made it all, the one whose hands still control it all. We can walk through hard things because the same God who controls the seas and the unseen particles is holding us, his children. God is holding you, your hand in his. Just sit with that image for a moment until you can actually see it. The living God is with you. Do not fear. And then in Matthew, when it's time for Jesus to make his grand entry on earth, do you remember the first name that was spoken years before by Isaiah and then was assigned to him? What was that name? Emmanuel, which means God with us. Beautiful. Jesus, here on our planet, to show us that God really is with us in a way our own eyes could see and actually make sense of. And do you remember anything about the circumstances that Jesus entered into? But this little Jewish baby born into a world of absolute chaos with this insecure, egotistical king who sought to murder all the baby boys because that made sense. And he was born into a people under oppressive rule, and he was born into poverty, and he was born into a world of violence and disease. Our God with us in these kinds of things. God with us showed up in hard times to walk among anxious people, to show them there's always a way to really live, even when the world is totally afraid. In Jesus, God showed us that he meant it when he said he'd do anything to be with us. He'd even suffer alongside us. In Jesus, God showed us he wanted to be with us so much that he would like to enter into our story and change everything about it for us. Jesus is our God's resounding message to us. I want nothing more than to be with you, and I will stop at nothing to be with you. Fear not, Jesus says. For the God who conquers death, he is with you. Fear not. And then when Jesus is finishing his work on earth, do you remember one of his very last promises? You heard it in John 14. He looks at those he loves and he says, I am going, but I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going somewhere else, but you will live because I won't leave you. I'm sending a helper, the Holy Spirit, who will now lead you into all you need to know God and to live fully here in this place. And this is Jesus's one of his final gifts to us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Did you get that? This is Jesus. The man who slipped out of Nazareth unafraid when those people tried to throw him off a cliff. My peace I give to you. This is Jesus, the man who touched lepers unafraid. My peace I give to you. This is Jesus, the man who saw a crowd of hungry people and one boy's sack lunch, and rather than panic and hoard it for himself, he shared it unafraid. My peace I give to you. This is Jesus, the same one who cried out in the garden just minutes before he would feel the crack of that first whip on his back. Not my will, but yours be done. My peace I give to you. This is Jesus who walked through scary times and real threats hovering over him, never wavering in who he was and what he was about. And he leaves us with his peace. All that helped him stand and never crumble. Ours for the taking. Not orphans, but a people walking with the Spirit of the living God. That is God with us. All of him and all of us. So fear not, for his peace is our peace too. God is with us. And when his people have remembered and embraced what that beautiful truth means, they have risen up to do their very best work in the most anxious of times. Because when the rest of the world is panicking, these people who know that God is with them, with this sense of courage and compassion and peace that the frantic just can't recognize, they move forth and do this work for others. And the world takes note. The early church father, Eusebius, I talked about him on Facebook this week. He was bishop in Caesarea in Palestine. That was Jesus's old stomping grounds. And he was around just a couple hundred years after Christ. And when he was bishop in this place, his church was going through some crazy hard times. There had been famine, there had been war, and then it all got followed up by the great plague. And when that came to the city, everyone started to bail for the countryside where things would be a little bit safer. However, in the midst of this mass exodus from Caesarea, there was at least one group that was staying behind, and it was the Christians. Eusebius wrote these words about his church during this time of great plague. He said, all day long, some of them tended to the dying and to their burial. Countless numbers were here with no one to care for them. Others gathered people from all parts of the city and distributed bread to them all. He goes on to say, because of their compassion in the midst of the plague, the Christians' deeds were on everyone's lips, and they glorified the God of the Christians. You see, people convinced that God is actually with them do not move in fear, and thus do their best work in anxious times. Doesn't mean we do dumb work. but we do our best work. One of my very favorite groups to follow and support is called the Preemptive Love Coalition. It was a nonprofit that was started by this guy that I went to seminary with. And the entire mission of Preemptive Love is to enter into the heart of war and conflict, those places where everybody else starts to flee. They come rushing in, offering food and shelter and care for the vulnerable who often get left behind in such situations. Their ministry started in Iraq right after 9/11, when American bombs were falling over Baghdad. They rushed into the city to see how they could be of help. A bunch of Americans at that. And since then, they've expanded their ministry to Syria and Iran and Libya and Palestine. And to this day, most recently, they're doing work on the U.S.-Mexico border. They go right where things are the most intense, and they seek out the vulnerable in those places to show love in the midst of violence and to show that there's always another way to do this crazy thing called life, especially in times of anxiety. They're trying to show that there is a with God way that doesn't let fear win, but always moves forth with an eye for our neighbor. An eye to the least of these. And so in these places around our globe that look like hell on earth, where violence has threatened to undo everything, there are glimpses even there of a good God, because some of God's people have chosen to show up right there, knowing that God is with them. You see, when we know that God is with us, we can do our very best work in anxious times. We're not in Iran. We're not in first century Palestine. So what might that mean for us practically in these times? Just a few invitations to consider this morning. One is just a word. Let's make sure we're not acting and reacting out of fear and out of panic, but out of wisdom and compassion and grace. God is with us. And he says in Timothy that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So let's use what our God with us is giving us and not exchange it for the world's hysterics. Only one way leads to life, and it's the way of God. You see, when there was no food on the mountain and there was lots of hungry people, the disciples' immediate response was panic. Remember that? Jesus, it's getting late. Send them home to go fend for themselves. And by the way, Jesus, what do you have in mind for us for dinner? And Jesus' response was to slow things down and to ask good questions. Well, what do we have? And rather than hoard, his response was to dare to share it. Our grocery stores and our community leaders, even our police department, are begging folks right now, don't take more than you need. They're trying to say the words of Jesus, there's plenty to go around. And if we are walking by fear and not by faith, we will look out for number one and hoard, 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 stash, stash, stash. But if we're walking with the faith that God is with us and that he is working through us and that he will care for everyone through us as we look out for our neighbor and love them even more than we love ourselves. That's how God has always done it. If you're not going to eat 100 bowls of cereal in the next 2 weeks, maybe put some milk back. Because Jesus loves your neighbor too. And he wants to love them through you. You see, hoarding is a fearful response. It's trying to control something that we know we can't control. But sharing, that's what people who are convinced God is with us always do. They move in compassion and they move in grace, not in fear. And as we do that, this anxious little town just might take note and glorify God because his people are just so darn generous. Another idea, less social media and more time with Jesus. As life slows down and the world out there looks a bit uncertain, our natural response is going to be to get tied to this thing 24/7. And you know, I get it, because my Lenten fast this year was supposed to be Facebook scrolling. And then came the coronavirus. And I said, I can't do that. I've got to know what's up. But my gosh, you guys, this is making us crazy. This constant connectedness to 1,000 different voices saying 1,000 different things. It's all we're talking about. I heard in the foyer all morning. It's all we're talking about. It's all we're reading about. It's all we're spreading rumors about. It's all we're thinking about. And all the while, Jesus has given us an unexpected few weeks to slow down. And could it be to live in that frantic frenzy a little bit less and actually rest up with him a whole lot more? Stay informed for sure. Listen to wise voices for sure. But then intentionally check out, plan it, and enjoy some unhurried time with your God. Because if he is with you, and he is, then the invitation might be simply to enjoy being with him too, in a new kind of way in these unexpected days. You see, I know it. I know what's going to happen. Our anxious world is going to let these weeks pass by, only accruing more and more hours on social media. And they're going to re-enter the world weeks from now, sicker than ever. And all the while, the living God is saying, surprise, surprise, I bet you didn't expect so much time with me in mid-March. But guess what? I've got some adventures planned for your heart. I have prepared some time just for you, just for us. I've been wanting it for so long, and now here it is, just for this time and just for this place. Don't miss it, my friends, playing into the frenzy. Check off. Sign off, check out. And this time, be with your God in a new, creative, unhurried, intimate sort of way. Ways you rarely make time for otherwise. And when you do re-engage the world full force, you might actually have something of life to give them. If you've spent these sacred days with your God. On Friday, I was at home and my phone was just dinging off the hook, and there was decisions to be made, and I'm looking at churches all over the place. What are they doing? What are they doing? What are we doing? And I began to think about our money in this church, and oh my gosh, God, we don't have a savings account, and we don't have giving. I mean, I was just going frantic, and I felt it. My anxiety, well, I had no appetite. My heart was pounding. My blood pressure was soaring. And eventually, after 3 hours of just scrolling and playing this record in my head, I turned it all off and grabbed my dog, and we went to the park. And I just said, God, let me hear your voice in all of this. What is your wisdom? What is your peace? This is your church. How are you going to sustain us? And you know, in that place, it wasn't long before all my fears that were being fueled by that little phone right there, I blame you, phone, all of my fears started to turn upside down. And the things that I was seeing as the biggest obstacles became these great invitations and opportunities to think outside the box, to imagine mission in a whole new way, to lean on God and see what he's got for us. It all became this giant opportunity into this unknown on adventure with our God. Check out and check in with him. Imagine all of the people who love Jesus in this town spending weeks before Easter intentionally resting up and fueling up in Him. And taking time to dream new dreams with Him. Imagine all of these people unleashed in a few weeks to spread some life like never before on the other side of this. Let's not waste it, my friends. Don't sell your souls to Facebook or CNN or Fox News. Be a tragic waste of the gift of Sabbath from God for a people who know their God is with them. So would you dare to be with Him? What else? A people whose God is with them always remember the big picture. They lean on the stories of a God who has carried His people through uncertain times before, much more uncertain than these times. And they find hope knowing that there's another side to this thing too. It may not even be that many weeks out. We walk with this God whose timeline is infinitely long, and He's carried His people through much worse than this. Surely He's got this too. And we remember how often God has used hard things for the good of His children. And in that, we find peace in the big picture. And yet, while we remember the big picture, we also seek not to miss the unique opportunities that are right here and right now. Because we know that this pandemic will pass. And eventually, life will get back to normal. And there is real peace in that for sure. But let's not just sit back and twiddle our thumbs and wait it out. Say, it'll pass. Because there is opportunity right here and right now that we might never get back again. What are the unique needs in our community right now? And how can we as God's people step up to that challenge and not miss it? Check in on your elderly neighbors. Those ones you've been meaning to, now's the time. Wonder about your working neighbors with kids who are now home for 6 weeks. Dare to imagine how your life might be interrupted for their own peace to come. You're like, oh crud, babysitting for 6 weeks? Maybe it might look like Jesus. How can our church be on the front lines of offering hope and relief to our community? I've got all these thoughts swirling through my mind. I'm praying on them. I've thought about offering our community kind of a phone a pastor thing. There's a lot of folks going to be home alone for the next few weeks. And let them know I'm here. If you just need half an hour, someone just to listen to you, to hear your stories, to think about your questions with you, here's my number. The pastor of this church, but I'm here for the community. Maybe it's that. Thought about this community-wide book club, I don't know, where we buy a bunch of books that are life-giving and that speak hope into an anxious world and just let folks in our town know, hey, if you want us to mail you a free book, give us your address. We got a stack of them. And if you want to talk about it in a few weeks, here's a link. Let's talk about it. Maybe it will work. I don't know. I've never done this either. And maybe we just extend our offer to get groceries for our senior adults to seniors who aren't right here in our church, to our whole community. It could be simple. It could be totally outside the box. I don't know. But there's got to be more. There's got to be something where our unique gifts in this place intersect our community's unique needs right here and right now. And I ask if you will pray with me about that. Don't leave it to me. We're the church. Would you dream about it with me and help us be on the front lines of God on the move with Belfair in these next weeks like never before? I don't want us to miss it. And I'm going to need your minds, your hearts, your prayers, your conversation not to miss it. And then how can you be creative about not missing this unique opportunity to look like Jesus in your anxious little pockets of the zip code? We keep the big picture in mind. We know it'll pass. And so we have peace. And yet we want to use this unique opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus right here and right now for folks who aren't quite so convinced it's going to be okay. So dare to be flexible. Dare to think outside the box. Get comfortable with changed plans. And see them not as disappointment, but as opportunity from God to imagine something different, maybe something even better for our neighbors right now. Before you just throw stuff out, oh, can't do that. Think about what we can do instead. Sounds kind of fun, doesn't it? We start seeing everything as just more of an opportunity to be creative and to shine. That's how God's people have always responded in anxious times when they are convinced that God is with them. Fear not. Get creative and dream big. This will pass, but hopefully not before we use it for God's good. Spend time with your kids. Make memories you never would have made otherwise. Try your hand at some art. Take walks with God and his creation. Notice his fingerprints everywhere. Read a book that lifts your spirits and draws you to Jesus. Make a new worship playlist and sing out loud in your kitchen for an hour straight. Practice the art of letter writing. You see, my friends, we're not sitting this one out. We're changing up our patterns of coming and going to keep folks safe and to be good neighbors and friends, but we're not just wasting time in the meantime. We're doing loads of little things that will bring our anxious, weary souls back to life. And just one final reminder. As our lives change for a bit, your church will continue to be on the front lines of ministry and of mission. Things will look different, but our pursuit of joining God and bringing his kingdom to this pocket of earth as in heaven, that doesn't take a break. This is who we are. This is why we exist for times like this. And so, however we worship in the coming weeks, remember that we're only going to be able to do what God is calling us to do when all of our gifts still come together in some way. And so if we all do just take a few weeks off of giving, the truth is the ministries of the church will cease when our community actually needs us on the front lines the most. I just ask that you remember that. As part of your participation with God and what's ahead. When a people walk through hard stuff, sticking close to the God who is with them, they come out on the other end even better than before. I could tell you 1,000 stories to prove it. God is with us. In these coming weeks, might we find real ways to be with him. And creative ways to be together. And inspiring ways to be with our community. Fear not. God is with you. And this is just another chapter in the grand adventure of you with him. We will not fear. Nor will we just wait it out. Because we've got good work to do. Because this is when Jesus' people do their best work. So let's get to it. Ready, set, break. Yeah, would you pray with me? Father God, we rest in your arms in these days. We actually look forward to this Sabbath time with you, knowing that you have good things in store for us, that we've just been too frantic to notice up until now. As we rest in your arms, we're seeking to be near to your heart. And we're asking you to stir in our hearts creativity and compassion that helps us reach out to our community and our world in a way that is kind and wise and life-giving. Let us be on the front lines, whatever that looks like in these different sort of days. We don't want to miss it. Whatever it is you have for our hearts, and whatever it is you have from our hearts for our community. Here we are, O God, your servants, in unknown times, walking with you, the God who knows all. Carry us, lead us, guide us, fill us up and fuel us up, because we've got work to do. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.